Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memorei Ram Goldar, and today we're Sekhus Baba Kama Daf Samach Beis. The end of the sixth parak Hakonais and the beginning of the seventh parak Maruba. The sixth parak has been generously sponsored by the Klein family as a schus for Rafua Shlema for Gittel Zissel Bas Rachel. So the three topics are going to focus on them. And although Rabbi Yehuda ordinarily obligates paying for hidden items damaged by fire, if someone receives permission to pile grain in his fellow's field and hides items there, Yehuda agrees the owner would be exempt if fire damaged those items, which were there without permission. Similarly, if permission was granted to pile wheat, but he stacked barley, or the reverse, or he covered over a wheat pile with barley, or the reverse, he only pays the value of barley. Rava says that if someone gives a gold dinar to a woman to guard, but tells her it's silver, and she then damages it with her hands, she must pay the full value of gold, because he can say to her, what did you have against this coin that you damaged it? However, if she was merely negligent in guarding it, she only pays the value of silver because she can say, Nitirusa de Kasbet Kibili Alai, I accepted on myself guarding of silver. Nitirusa de Davalo Kibili Alai, I didn't accept on myself a guarding of gold. The case mentioned before of fire is also considered damage through negligence. Point number two, the next Mishnah teaches that if a camel bearing flax walked near a store and the flax entered the store and was ignited by the store owner's lamp, the camel's owner pays for any damages. But if the store owner left his lamp outside the store, he is chai for the damages. Rav Yehuda says, B'ner Chanukah Pater. Regarding a Ner Chanukah, he's Pater since he has permission to place it there for the mitzvah. Rav suggested that this ruling proves that Ner Chanukah mitzvah ha'nicha b'tokha sara. It's a mitzvah to place the Ner Chanukah with intent fucking with the ground, because otherwise the damaged party could say that he should have placed the Ner above the height of the camel and its rider out of harm's way. The Gemara rejects this proof because even if he could put it above 10 fachim, came into be mitzvah ka'asik, since he's occupied in performing a mitzvah, kuli hagwa terahu rabban. The rabbis did not trouble him so much to place the ner at such a height. And point number three, the seventh parak begins, Maruba midas tashumi kefu midas tashumi arba chamisha. The rule of double payment for a thief is more inclusive than the rule of fourfold or fivefold payment made if the thief sold or shechted stolen ox or sheep. Kefu applies both to living beings and inanimate items, where dal de hay only applied to an ox or sheep. The Gemara notes that the Mishnah did not mention another way kefu is more inclusive. Kefu is paid both by a thief and by a tohen tainis ganav. A shomer who makes a claim and swears about a thief having stolen the item in his care, when in fact the shomer had retained it for himself, as opposed to dal and hay, which would not be paid by tohen tainis ganav, who subsequently shechted or sold the animal in his care. This omission supports Bechia Bar Abba's ruling that a tohen tainis ganav does pay dal and hay. Others say this proof was deflected because the Mishnah does not say ain bain. There's no difference between them except the Mishnah taught one difference, but there may be others. So once again, the three points are number one. Although Rabbi Yehuda ordinarily obligates paying for hidden items damaged by fire, if someone receives permission to pile grain in his fellow's field and hides items there, Rabbi Yehuda agrees the owner would be putter if fire damaged those items which were there without permission. Similarly, if permission was granted to pile wheat, but he stacked barley, or the reverse, or he covered over a wheat pile with barley, or the reverse, he only pays the value of barley. Rav says that if someone gives a gold dinar to a woman to guard, but tells her it's silver, and she then damages it with her hands, she must pay the full value of gold, because he can say to her, what did you have against this coin that you damaged it? However, if she was merely negligent in guarding it, she only pays the value of silver, because she can say, Nitirusa de Kasbet Kibili Alai, I accepted on myself guarding of silver. Nitirusa de Davalo Kibili Alai, I didn't accept on myself a guarding of gold. The case mentioned before of fire is also considered damage through negligence. Point number two, the next Mishnah teaches that if a camel bearing flax walked near a store and the flax entered the store and was ignited by the store owner's lamp, the camel's owner pays for any damages. But if the store owner left his lamp outside the store, he is chai for the damages. Rav Yehuda says, B'ner Chanukah Pater. Regarding a Ner Chanukah, he's Pater since he has permission to place it there for the mitzvah. Rav suggested that this ruling proves that Ner Chanukah mitzvah ha'nicha b'tokha sara. It's a mitzvah to place the Ner Chanukah with intent fucking with the ground, because otherwise the damaged party could say that he should have placed the Ner above the height of the camel and its rider out of harm's way. The Gemara rejects this proof because even if he could put it above 10 fachim, came into be mitzvah ka'asik, since he's occupied in performing a mitzvah, kuli hagwa terahu rabban. The rabbis did not trouble him so much to place the Ner at such a height. And point number three, the seventh parak begins, Maruba midas tashumi kefu midas tashumi arba chamisha. The rule of double payment for a thief is more inclusive than the rule of fourfold or fivefold payment made if the thief sold or shechted stolen ox or sheep. Kefu applies both to living beings and inanimate items, where dal de hay only applied to an ox or sheep. The Gemara notes that the Mishnah did not mention another way kefu is more inclusive. Kefu is paid both by a thief and by a tohen tainis ganav. a shomer who makes a claim and swears about a thief having stolen the item in his care, when in fact the shomer had retained it for himself, as opposed to dal and hay, which would not be paid by Toh and Tina's ganav, who subsequently shechted or sold the animal in his care. This omission supports Bechia Bar Abba's ruling that a Toh and Tina's ganav does pay dal and hay. Others say this proof was deflected because the Mishnah does not say ain bain. There's no difference between them except the Mishnah taught one difference, but there may be others. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Samach Beis, and our standard Siman is a submarine. So here goes. The submarine admiral who discovered that the uniform he hid without permission under his pile of grain in someone's yard was burned in a fire caused by flax on a camel being ignited by Ner Chanukah, which had been placed outside the submarine accessory store, saw one of his officers who was Toh and Tina's ganav, but who had sold the animal in his care, pay dalit. Hey, once again, slow motion. The submarine admiral, that must be learned off Samach Beis. The submarine admiral who discovered that the uniform he hid without permission under his pile of grain in someone's yard was burned in a fire, which reminds us, although Rabbi Yehuda ordinarily obligates paying for hidden items damaged by fire, if someone receives permission to pile grain in his fellow's field and hides items there, Yehuda agrees the owner would be putter if fire damaged those items which were there without permission. So the submarine admiral who discovered that the uniform he hid without permission under his pile of grain in someone's yard was burned in a fire caused by flax on a camel being ignited by Ner Chanukah, which had been placed outside the submarine accessory store, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that if a camel bearing flax walked near a store, and the flax entered the store and was ignited by the store owner's lamp, the camel's owner pays for any damages. But if the store owner left his lamp outside the store, he is liable for the damages. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'ner Chanukah Pater. Regarding a Ner Chanukah, he is Pater since he has permission to place it there for the mitzvah. So the submarine admiral who discovered that the uniform he hid without permission under his pile of grain in someone's yard was burned in a fire caused by flax on a camel being ignited by Ner Chanukah, which had been placed outside the submarine accessory store, saw one of his officers who was Toh and Tina's ganav, but who had sold the animal in his care, pay dalit v'hei, which reminds us, the seventh parak begins, Maruba midas tashumi kefo mamidas tashumi arba v'chamisha. The rule of double payment for a thief is more inclusive than the rule of fourfold or fivefold payment made if the thief sold or shechted stolen ox or sheep. Kefo applies both to living beings and inanimate items, where dal v'hei only applied to an ox or sheep. The Gemara notes that since no other difference was mentioned, the Mishnah supports Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba's ruling that a Toh and Tina's ganav does pay dal v'hei. Others say this proof was deflected because the Mishnah does not say ain bain. There is no difference between them except the Mishnah taught one difference, but there may be others. So once again, the submarine admiral who discovered that the uniform he hid without permission under his pile of grain in someone's yard was burned in a fire caused by flax on a camel being ignited by Ner Chanukah, which had been placed outside the submarine accessory store, so one of his officers who was Toh and Tina's ganav, but who had sold the animal in his care, paid dalit v'hei. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara. Daf Nun Ches. So the Simmer Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that must have been wearing Daf Nun Ches. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he knows someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, which reminds us, two reasons are given as to why the concept of Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero, chasing a lion away from someone's property, where one does not collect benefits from the property's owner because he was performing a mitzvah in protecting the property, does not apply where a sheep fell into someone's garden and the produce cushioned the fall. Number one, Mavriach Ari is done medaito knowingly, whereas the owner of the garden saved the animal from injury unknowingly. And secondly, Mavriach Ari does not suffer a loss by chasing away the lion, whereas this one suffers a loss of his produce's damage, and therefore he may collect the animal's benefit. So when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he knows someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, which reminds him, was taught that if someone's animal fell into a garden and ate produce, he pays for its benefit but not the full damages. Rav Kahana says this is only true for that bed onto which it fell. Rashi explains the animal could not restrain itself from consuming that bed. Avama aruga la aruga, but if it went from one row to another row and ate there, Mishalemis Masha Hazika, it pays for what it damaged because the owner is negligent for not removing it. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the animal went from one row to another all day, the owner would still only pay its benefit, Ashitetsi Vitaksu Ladas, until it leaves the garden and returns with the owner's knowledge. So when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he knows someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, while the homeowner was busy assessing the damage as part of a larger area of a Beisa, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that where an animal damaged produce in a field, the damage is not assessed according to the value of the produce, but according to the field's loss in value. Furthermore, the assessment is not made for the specific area of damage, but as part of a greater area of a Beisa of land. Rav Masna provides the source, Ubir Beste Acher, and it consumes in the field of another. This teaches that they assess the damage based on another larger field. The Gemara brings different opinions as to how the price of a Beisa is evaluated. Daf Nun Tes, the Simmer Daf Nun Tes, is a knight. So here goes. The knight in shining armor, knight? That must be more on Daf Nun Tes. The knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, which reminds us of Braisa Nun Ches Amud Beis discussed assessing chazis, newly sprouted grain which was eaten by one's animal. Rabbi Yossi Galili said, Nidon b'meshuyar shebo, it's judged based on what remains in the field, meaning the remaining grain is evaluated at harvest time to determine the damage of the undeveloped grain. The Chachamim say we assess the value of the land with its stalks before it was damaged, and its value after its stalks were damaged. Thus, they follow the grain's current value. So the knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, which reminds us of the Braisa taught that if an animal eats smadar, budding grapes, Rabbi Yeshua says he pays what their value would be at harvest. After the Gemara establishes that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same thing, it explains that they argue about kachash gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine, which would have occurred if the grapes had remained on the vine until harvesting, drawing nourishment from the vine. So the knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, because he was nervous looking at three people coming, one carrying a fire, one carrying some wood, and one carrying a bellows to fan the flame, which reminds us, if one brought wood and then another brought fire, the one who brought the fire is chayev. If another person came and fanned the fire, without which it would not have grown to a fire capable of damage, he alone is liable. If it was fanned by a wind, all of them are exempt. Daf Samach, so the similar Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker, that must be more Daf Samach. The man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayiv, which reminds us of Braisa states that if one fanned the fire and the wind fanned it, if the person's fanning was sufficient to spread the fire, he's chayiv, but if not, he's putter. The Gemara said it should be like one who winnows on Shabbos, and the wind assists him by blowing away the chaff, where he's chayiv for being machal Shabbos. So first three answers are given as why he's not responsible for blowing on the fire. The first one being, he fanned the fire from the opposite side as the wind, and so he did not contribute to the fire at all. Rav Ashi answers that the liability for winnowing with the assistance of wind is specific to Shabbos, the Malachas Mach Shabbos Asur Torah, where the Torah prohibited purposeful work, whereas damage inflicted through the wind is considered indirectly caused, Vagramba ben Nezakim Pater, and one is exempt for mere causative damage. So the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayev, got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef taught a brisa about a pasuk regarding Makas Bechoros, Vatem Oseitzu Ish Mepesach Beso Ad Boker, and you, referring to the Jews, shall not leave the entrance of the house until morning. It explains, Kevin Shenitin Reshus L'Mashchis, once permission has been given to the destroying force to destroy, it doesn't distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. Therefore, Jews would be endangered if they would leave their homes. So the man who fanned a flame with a smiley face sticker from the opposite side of the wind, so he wouldn't be chayev, got caught in a storm of angry face stickers that poured down from the sky outside a house where Jews made sure not to leave the entrance, while three warriors risked their lives running through them on a mission to find the psak on three shilas for their king. Which reminds us, the Gemara analyzes an incident in which David had a craving for water from Beis Lechem, which it interprets to mean that he sought the Sanhedrin's ruling on a halakha question. Three warriors risked their lives breaking the camp of the Plishtim to obtain a resolution, and David objected to their doing so. Amram discussed what his inquiry was, and three opinions are brought. Daf Samachov, so the Zimmer Daf Samachov is a saw, and we often use a magician doing the saw person and half trick. So here goes. The magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, saw a person in half, that must be more on Daf Samachov, saw. The magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his four amma high wall, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Avra Gadar Shehu Gavo Dalad Amos, if a fire which one lit on his own property crossed a wall four amas high, or Derech HaRabim, or Nahar, or a public road or a river, Pater, he's exempt. There's a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, whether the exemption applies to a kalachas, a rising fire, or to a nikfefes, a bent fire, referring to a fire bent by the wind. So the magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his 4-amah-high wall, had called the Hakola Fi Hadleika fire department to come, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hamadlich Matoch Shalo, if one lights a fire within his own property, Ad Kama Tavor Hadleika, until how far is the fire expected to pass? Four opinions are recorded, the fourth one being Rabbi Shimon, who says, Hakol Afi Hadleika, it all depends on the fire, which is explained to mean Hakol Afi Gova Hadleika, it all depends on the height of the fire, which determines how far the fire is expected to travel. Shmuel says, the halakha is like Rabbi Shimon. So the magician practicing his saw a person in half while lighting the box on fire trick, who was terrified when the fire got out of control and got bent by wind and crossed over his 4-amah-high wall, had called the Hakol Afi Hadleika fire department to come. But they were busy telling an arsonist who lit someone's pile of grain on fire that he was hired to pay for the burned threshing tools that had been hidden there, but not for the burned purse. Which reminds us, where one set a fire in his property, the Chachamim say he's put on all hidden items. Where he lit in another person's property, Yehuda holds him liable even for an arniki, a purse, not commonly hidden in grain. And the Chachamim say, Kalim should darken lehatin begadish, for Kalim commonly hidden in a grain pile, such as threshing tools, he's chayiv, but not for items not commonly hidden there, such as a purse. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which is something about three warriors of David HaMelech who risked their lives and ran through a camp of the Plishtim to bring a Shiloh to the Sanhedrin? That's on Duff. Samach. Good. Number 2. Which Duff do we have a question if a Tohen Tinus Ganav pays Dalad or Hay? That's on Duff. Samach Beis. Good. Number 3. Which Duff do we discuss who is Chayv when multiple people contributed to a fire? Where one brought the fire, one brought the wood, and one fanned the flames? That's some Duff. Nun Tes. Good. Number 4. Which of them are the Chachamim hold that if someone lit a fire in another person's property, they're Chayv on tools that are usually placed in a grain pile, but not for a purse? That's on Duff. Samachov. Good. Number 5. Which of them, when the one is not chayiv, if he fans a flame in the opposite direction of the wind? That's on Duff. Samach. Good. Number 6. Which of them, when if someone receives permission to pile grain in his fellow's field and hides items there, Rebuta agrees the owner would be exempt if fire damaged those items. That's on Duff. Samach Beis. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you discuss if the owner of an animal that fell into someone's garden is chayiv, if his animal then goes from row to row to eat the produce? That's on Duff. Nunches. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn Rebbe Yehuda holds that if flax carried by a camel got ignited by Ner Chanukah placed outside, the owner of the Ner Chanukah is pater because he had permission to place it there for the mitzvah? That's on Duff. Samach Beis. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have machlokes whether a Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar? That's on Duff. Nun Vav. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss whether the exemption of a fire that crossed a barrier is with regards to a Kalachas, a rising fire, or a Nikfefes, a bent fire? That's on Duff. Samachov. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.